We're glad to have you this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John, St. John chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. This is the Lord, the real Lord's Prayer, and we're going to read just a few verses of this prayer and then talk to you about where the church gets its power. It said, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Where the church gets its power. I think it's a very exciting thing this morning to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I think we ought to certainly let the world know that we're a part of the church, that we're a member of the family of Almighty God. We ought to be excited about that. It kind of reminds me of the story, and I've shared this with you before, but it bears repeating, about a young high school football star who was being recruited by a coach from a major university. The coach had never seen the young man play, so he asked him some direct questions. He said, "Son, I understand that you do the passing for your team. Are you a pretty good passer?" "Am I a good passer?" the boy answered. "Well, I threw the ball 100 times this season, only had one incompletion, and that was because the receiver fell down before the ball got to him." The coach was impressed. "I understand that you also played defense," he said. "Are you a good tackler?" "Am I a good tackler?" the boy answered. "Why, I'll have you know that in one game this year, I put 3 members of the opposite team in the hospital with my tackles." The coach rubbed his hands in glee. "I understand that you also do the punting for your team. Can you kick the ball pretty well?" "Can I kick? I'll have you know that I have to hold back on my punts in order to keep the ball from sailing completely out of the stadium." Well, the coach was thrilled. He said, "Tell me, son, do you have any weaknesses?" The boy thought for a moment, and then he replied, "Well, I do lie a little bit." Well, that young man may have overstated his case, but what a refreshing change from the Christian. If anything, most of us have a tendency to understate just how much God means in our life and what a privilege it is to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to think that the great God of heaven, the God that created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the 6th day, the Bible said he formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And to think that God that put all of this together, that he wants to live in your little life. What an amazing thing. Amen. That ought to be so exciting to us to know that we're a part of the family of God. God is our Father, Jesus Christ, our elder brother, and we are joint heirs with him. We are a part of the family of Almighty God. This is the most thrilling business in all the world, that God has entrusted to you and to me the work of bringing this beaten and battered world into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us to bring abundant life to hearts that are cold and uncaring. He has offered us the possibility of being a part of this building of the kingdom, His kingdom, in this world. That ought to make your spirit soar. Or you could be like the man who went into the hotel and asked for a bottle of Old Squirrel. The bartender replied that he didn't have any Old Squirrel, but he did have some Old Crow. The man said sorrowfully, "No, I don't want to fly. I just want to hop around a little bit." But there is a difference this morning between people who want to fly and for those that just want to jump around a little bit. Our spirits ought to soar when we contemplate the great honor that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God, that we are called a part of the family of God, and that He has entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation of this world. Amen. He has given us the word of life. And there are folks out there that are on the road to a devil's hell, and we have the words of life to transform that life into one that is a part of the family of God. In our scripture lesson from John's gospel, Jesus prays for the church. Now, He is praying that they will be unified in the work of which they are called. Now, there are a lot of denominations today. There are a lot of different beliefs out there, but there are those that have what we call the cardinal doctrines, the main doctrine, those churches that we align with, that we know preach basically the same truth that we preach. And we need to be unified in the sense of all of us have that purpose of God to reach a lost and dying world and tell them about Jesus Christ. It's not about just building up the local church. It's building the kingdom of God. And all of us need to do our part, and this church needs to do its part in trying to reach out and make a difference in the lives of people that are lost and in sin. To be sure, Christians have bickered and they have fought with one another and some have been lost. But the truth of the matter is that there are more of us today than's ever been before. You see, the 12 started out and then there were 70 and then there was 120 and then God added 3,000 and then He added to the church daily. And He multiplied the church and He multiplied it daily. It is amazing to me that just 100 years ago, a century ago, there are more Christians today in this world than there were people on the face of the earth 100 years ago. Amen. To say we're winning, to say that we're just moving heaven and earth in order to reach people for Christ? No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying that sometimes we minimize the fact of the work of God, but it does not excuse us from the fact that there needs to be more done. And we need to reach out with a greater determination to help folks come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you've got family that if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. You've got friends and you've got neighbors. If they don't get saved, they're going to hell. Now, I'm convinced this morning that there's a lot of folks out there that believe that if you just have a minimal relationship with the Lord, if you go to church on Easter, if you just do a little bit, that everything's all right. And when you die, they preach you into heaven. But it does not matter what the preacher says. It only matters what God says. And He says you must be born again. But where does the church get its power? The power that has sustained her all down through the ages. I believe she gets it from two sources. One, She gets it from the world's needs. The world desperately needs what you and I have to offer them. Whether in the far off places around the world, whether it be China, Brazil, whether it be Africa, or whether it be right here in our neighborhood. You see, there are a lot of folks all around you this morning that are hurting. They're suffering. Individuals that spiritually need help. And I'm here to tell you this morning that all around us that there are folks that are waiting just for you or somebody like you that will care enough for them that they'll reach out to them in order to help them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Evangelist Billy Graham spelled out the world's needs in a book that he wrote, and he put it in graphic terms. He writes this. He said, in China, when my wife was growing up, she frequently saw babies who died before they cut their teeth, and they were thrown out into the streets to be eaten by pariah dogs. The people feared that if evil spirits thought that they cared too much for their children, that they would come and take another one. And so they tried to prove their indifference in this crude way. He said again, I once saw a man in India lying on a bed of spikes. He had been there for many days, eating no food and drinking very little water. He was attempting to atone for his sins. Another time in Africa, I saw a man walk on coals of fire, supposedly that if he came through unscathed, he was accepted by God. If he was burned, he was considered to be a sinner in need of more repentance. In India, a missionary who passed the banks of the Ganges River noticed that a mother was sitting there with two of her children. On her lap was a beautiful new baby, and whimpering beside her was a painfully retarded child of about 3 years of age. On her return home that night, the missionary saw the young mother still sitting at the riverbank, but the baby was gone, and the mother was trying to comfort the other little child, the retarded child. Horrified at what she thought might be true, the missionary hesitated a moment. Then she walked over to the little mother and asked her what had happened. With tears streaming down her cheeks, the mother looked up and said, I don't know about the God in your country, but the God in my country demands the best. She had given her perfect baby to the God of the Ganges River. Do you suppose that people like that need to be liberated by the good news of the gospel? Amen. That Christ brings life. There are persons all around us that are brokenhearted, and they're lonely. They have physical needs. They have emotional needs, but most of all, they have spiritual needs. A few years ago, a delightful story appeared in Pulpit Digest magazine. One cold winter morning, a woman noticed a small boy without shoes. She took him to a store and bought him some socks and some shoes. And the boy left without a word of thanks, and the woman was disturbed by the fact of his ingratitude. But in a moment, the little lad was back, and he said, Lady, I forgot to thank you for my shoes. And I've got a question I need to ask you. Are you God's wife? The lady didn't know what to say. She stumbled for an answer, and then she murmured, No. I'm just one of his children. Well, said the little boy, I knowed that you were one of his kin. That's who we are, isn't it? You see, we're one of God's kin. Isn't it wonderful to be able to say I'm a member of the family of God? Isn't it good to say that I'm a child of the King? Wow. What a privilege. The gates of hell cannot prevail against a church like that. An Oriental visitor who traveled across the United States, and he saw such natural and man-made wonders as the Golden Gate Bridge, the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, the Empire State Building. But he said of all the wonders in America, what impressed him the most was the size of the Americans' garbage cans. We are blessed, aren't we? We are blessed. The measure of our lives is not how much we have, but it's how much we give. The love of God flows not only in us, but it flows in us to flow through us. As long as it is flowing, we are fresh and we are alive. If we ever seek to dam that flow up and keep it for ourselves, then we become like a stagnant pond or like the Dead Sea where nothing can live. Everything flows in, but nothing flows out. That kind of church will die. The church gets its power by meeting the world's needs. One of the most controversial issues of our time has been the breeder reactor. This is an atomic reactor that in theory produces more energy than it uses. I only know of one other source in the world like that, and that is the love of God. Amen. The love of God. The more we draw on His resources and the more we give away, the more that we have. We draw our power from seeking to meet the world's needs. I'm here to tell you, if we don't meet their needs, who's going to? If we don't care, who's going to care? You see, if we're not concerned about the lost souls of men, and if all that we care about is us four and no more, and all that's within the walls of this church, and we don't want to have anybody else come. And I'm telling you, there's some churches, they don't want anybody else to come. They're content with what they've got. But the Bible says that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. We are commissioned. We cannot but care. We cannot but be concerned about the souls that are lost and in sin. The other source of the church's power is this, the knowledge that God is with us. I was reading about a Methodist pastor who says that he was totally unprepared when he was assigned to his first church. He said, I was so green that when the first couple came to ask me to marry them, I didn't know how to help them, to tell them where to stand. He said, I had to go and buy a book of Amy Vanderbilt's Book of Etiquettes so I could find out where to position everybody for the wedding ceremony. He said, I still cringe to think of the type of counseling and the preaching I did back in those early days. But he said, I'll never forget my first shut-in. She was a dear lady who had been a member of the church for 80 long years. But now she was in declining and failing health. And for all of the practical purposes, this dear lady was deaf. She couldn't hear. Only if you cupped up your hand, put it to her ear, and just literally shouted, she could not hear. He said, I would cup up my hand and I would say, good morning, how are you? She would reply a little bit, but she had Parkinson's disease and her speech was garbled. For all practical purposes, she was blind as well and bedfast. He said, I was not used to being with older people. I wanted so badly to minister to her, but felt so awkward. What kind of small talk, he said, could we make? What did we have in common? I was totally incompetent, but I was faithful. I visited her on a regular basis, though each time I felt like a complete fool. I had a prayer at the close of every visit. But how can you shout a prayer into someone's ear? It was totally a frustrating experience for me. Well, 18 months after my first visit with her, he said, this dear lady passed away. I conducted her funeral. Can you imagine my surprise when at the funeral, the two daughters of the lady handed me a note. On it was scrawled almost illegibly the last message the woman ever communicated in her life. And it simply was this: please tell my young pastor how much his visits meant to me. He said, I've often looked back on this experience with wonderment and awe. I have come to this conclusion. As I sought to minister to this dear lady, it was not I who was giving comfort to her spirit. It was Christ. And that is Christ's promise to us. Is it not, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age? We have been called to meet the world's needs, but the one who has called us goes with us to meet that need. He doesn't just send us out there by ourselves, but he sends us out there with his empowerment. You know what I said early in the service? He comes to indwell our life. The great God of heaven, the big God of heaven, indwells our little lives in order to go with us and empower us to do what he's called us to do. And you know, one of these days, he's going to be through with us down here. Aren't you glad of the fact that this God who knows your name, knows the hairs of your head, and he knows that I don't have near as many hairs as I used to have, but he knows every wrinkle on my face that I didn't used to have. He knows all about you and me. And that God that knows us and will call us by name, as we said earlier in the service, he'll call us by name and say, welcome home. That he cares about us. Aren't you glad of that? God wants the whole world to be saved, not just us. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're a part of the family of God, but he wants the whole world to be here and to be a part of his family. Jesus prayed not only for the ones the Father had given him, but the ones that would be given him. He prayed for this day in which we live. He wants everybody to be saved. But how can they hear unless somebody tell them? How can they hear? I'm challenging you. Go to work telling folks about Jesus. They want to hear that message. They need to hear that message. Without that message, they'll die in their sin and go to hell. They need to hear. Will you tell them? Let's bow for prayer.